radio on TuneIn. That sound means that it is on 9 o'clock on the button. And here with the news is one of the directors, and obviously now a stage director, true, for the SAG-AFTRA radio players, Roger Badish.
Thank you very much, Rick. Fair skies right now, 40 degrees. We are just getting word out of California that the 24-year-old son of former Chicago Public School CEO Paul Vallis has passed away. It happened on Saturday afternoon. There is still no word from the Huntington Beach Police Department as to the cause of death. There has been no comment from the Vallis family as of now. Again, the 24-year-old son of Paul Vallis, Chicago Public School CEO, former CEO, has passed away in California. In other news, the Illinois Supreme Court will be going on the road.
The court will be in session at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign March 15th to hear two cases. It's the alma mater of Chief Justice Lloyd A. Carmire. Hearing cases on the road isn't anything new. Justice Carmire says the writing circuit around the state was done as a matter of course in the early days of the court's history. Dave Schwann, WGN News.
Students who survived this month's school shooting in Florida returned to the school today for what's being called an open house. ABC's Kenneth Moten was there.
Walk on in.
A sea of strength and support. Thousands of students and parents made their way back into the halls of Stoneman Douglas High School.
There'll be a cast of thousands helping you.
With classes set to resume, their concern, security.
I was just here and, like, people I know have died here and it's hard.
I always felt safe here and that's ruined.
Parkland is trying to move forward as the demand for answers intensifies. At the governor's request, the state's Department of Law Enforcement launched an investigation into the shooting response. Kenneth Moten, ABC News, Parkland, Florida.
New indictments, new guilty pleas in the special counsel's Russia investigation, ABC's Mark Remler.
After more than two dozen new charges were filed against President Trump's former campaign chair Paul Manafort and former deputy campaign chair Rick Gates last week, Gates has now pleaded guilty. Manafort, meanwhile, has thus far pleaded not guilty, but former U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara on ABC's This Week says a change at some point wouldn't surprise him.
I don't see how Manafort goes to trial credibly based on what I see in the indictment and the straightforwardness of the charges.
Manafort and Gates were also indicted on other charges back in October. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza says there's lots of work ahead to heighten the role of Democratic women in politics. She's one of three women on a panel appointed by House Speaker Michael Madigan working towards that goal. Speaking on WGN's Sunday Spin program with Rick Pearson, Mendoza says women especially need help when they run for office.
We have monumentally more obstacles in our path than your average man does. And if you're a woman of color, you can multiply that exponentially as well, right? So our party is looking to lead in this respect, and we have to learn from the mistakes of the past and just do things better.
You can hear that entire interview as a podcast on our website at WGNradio.com. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
A smile is a sign of confidence. At Eon Clinics, we know how important it is to talk, laugh, and live every day without worrying about your appearance.
I'm more confident. I don't mind being in front of a group speaking. I don't hide behind my hand anymore.
Don't let one more day pass without knowing your options. Our dental implants can not only change the way you look, but how you feel about yourself.
They've made me a much happier person. I don't mind smiling. I don't mind being in pictures. And I don't mind laughing out loud.
Love yourself. Invest in your smile with dental implants placed by our gentle, knowledgeable doctors. Take a step towards a better life with Eon Clinics. Call Eon Clinics today at 844-432-SMILE. That's 844-432-SMILE. Or visit our website at eonclinics.com.
Acme Home Insurance.
Yes, I'd like to make a claim.
What are you wanting to claim, sir?
My water heater broke down.
Sorry, but your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover water heater breakdowns.
So what do you cover?
Home damage from things like earthquakes, volcanoes, a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse? But that'll never happen.
But if it did, you'd be covered, sir.
But not my water heater?
I'm afraid not.
But his water heater could have been covered with a home warranty from American Home Shield. We cover major components of air conditioners, plus 20 other home systems and appliances, like electrical systems, plumbing, refrigerators, and more. For a free quote on flexible plans to meet your needs and budget, call 1-800-300-5192. Homeowners insurance can cover what might happen.
Zombies are coming!
But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the dryer won't work.
Be sure with the Shield. American Home Shield. For a free quote, call 1-800-300-5192. 1-800-300-5192.
Limitations and exclusions apply. See plan for details.
WGN Sports, as you heard just a little bit ago, Iowa beating Northwestern 77-70 in the last regular season game for the Wildcats. Northwestern starts the Big Ten tournament on Thursday. Exhibition baseball, Cubs and Sox both win. The White Sox will meet the Cubs on Tuesday in Cactus League play from Mesa. The game is at 2 o'clock with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson on 720 WGN. Hawks will visit San Jose on Thursday. Checking WGN traffic, we have an accident right now blocking the right lane of the ramp that goes from the northbound Tri-State to the westbound I-88. It is not causing any major delays right now. Traffic still able to get by. And as far as the travel times on the rest of the area, expressways, tollways, and highways, everything's moving along at posted speeds. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, rest of the overnight mostly clear, windy overnight low around 32. Monday back to school and work, sunny and breezy with a high near 50. Temperatures around the area right now, 40 at O'Hare, 41 at Midway, Mount Prospect and the lakefront, Lake Michigan water temperature at 37, winds out of the southwest at 12. I'm Roger Badish in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, I have in the studio a gathering of some of the loveliest, nicest people that I have met, and it is certainly the largest crowd to ever sit in this studio. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Don't they sound nice, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. This entire hour is going to be devoted to the SAG-AFTRA senior radio players, a group that I've written about and seen often over the years and have roundly admired. So you people cannot let me down because I have always admired you.
We promise.
You promise?
That's a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure. All right, let's give the listeners some background to the SAG-AFTRA Senior Radio Players. SAG standing for Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA standing for, I'm a member of this.
American Federation of Television and Radio.
Hey, I pay my dues. That's all I care about. Right. Give me some background, if you would, anybody. And do me a favor. When you speak and say something, say, hi, this is so-and-so, so the listeners will have a chance to meet you.
Okay, I have all my relatives listening, so I might as well say, hi, this is Mercita DeMunk. And I will tell you that we started out in 97 over at the Cultural Center, and it was called the Broadcast Museum. Bruce Dumont had
That's right, in the back, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and it was a very small place. We crowded a lot of people in there, a lot of bodies on that little stage.
How and why did you start, Mercita? How and why did this, I mean, you started doing your productions there?
Yeah, well, the reason this started was because we started a seniors committee over at the Union, and we thought, what can we talk about? Well, we don't want to talk about politics, nah.
You don't want to talk about health and we're taking and
yeah,
all
no.
that
no.
I'm part Nobody of my leg hurts,
health,
my
right.
arm hurts. Yeah.
We all wanted to talk about ourselves and the shows
Our grandkids,
we're in.
Yeah.
But one of the members, Don Ferris, said, gee, I've got an idea. I have scripts at home, and I invite some friends over, and we do little excerpts of radio shows. So we decided, hey, that's what we all do best, so we're all actors, and so that's how we got started. And we thought it would be a great idea not only to promote the Union, but also to help ourselves keep in shape for when we got the call for the next audition.
And talent buyers are always welcome.
It really is, has been exactly that that we've worked on. And we've done it now for 21 years.
The
faces have changed, but a lot of us are still here from the beginning.
They've just gotten better looking. The productions, to my mind, and these are not thrown together productions, the productions that I have seen over the years have been terrifically professional. There's no question about that, and I think that's one of the reasons you've been so successful. Connie, you're also an executive board member, aren't you?
An executive board member, yeah. I'm the co-chair of the seniors committee. So we try to recreate them as closely as we can to the original production. And so we have live sound effects.
Wow.
Sometimes we have a keyboard artist. We've had a harp on stage. We've had tap dancers on stage. We have done everything to make it as entertaining as possible for an audience, because we cannot broadcast these,
right?
Because
right.
They couldn't pay us. Because
yeah, of course, because your members have said, yes, after, right?
Yes,
right?
So
right.
We do these for free for the education of our audience members
and the entertainment. I mean,
yes.
And the entertainment.
Yes.
Well, we hope it's entertaining.
Well, it is. It has been. I'm sure there's a production Thursday at the Cultural Center. That begins, doors open at 6:30 in the Claudia Cassidy Theater. The shows start about 7-ish. There will be an episode of The Saint and an episode of The Great Gildersleeve. Roger Badish is directing one of them. Who's directing the other one?
Pat Vern Harris.
I am.
Are
Pat
you?
Vern Harris.
Hi, Pat. Why are you directing and not starring?
Years ago, I started a community theater and did not know I liked to direct, and discovered that, wow, I loved directing. It's the power.
It is the power. You saw Roger here. I mean, it is the power. Let me ask the others. Alma, you and I have known each other over the years. I think we've done some stuff at Bug House Square.
Absolutely.
And who knows at every other thing we never got paid for.
That's right. And we did a thing about Studs Terkel.
Of course, of course. Alma, how did you get involved in this game?
Well, I heard about the group, and I thought, well, you're not doing any work. I mean, this is one way of keeping, as they say, the chops moving. So why not check it out? So I did. I auditioned, and I didn't get in for several shows, but that's okay. I attended them all. And finally, got a role, and then we were just hooked. Love
wow.
it. It's just such fun. I mean, we don't care that we don't get money. I mean, we'd love to have some.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
You know,
of course.
You just don't do it for that. It's a way of making the people at home.
Well, and also, I mean, for all of you, it must be that incredible jolt one gets from connecting with a live audience.
It is.
I mean, doing a voiceover work is fine and it can make money, but there is nothing for an actor. I'm not one. But for you people to make that contact, that there's such a direct flow of energy, I think, from performer to audience. Now,
I'm Joni Winter.
Joni, how did you get involved?
Okay. My background is mostly equity musical theater. And I was in L.A., I was in New York. When I came back to Chicago, which is where I started, one of the girls who's a member of this group, Madeline Fallon, who I'd worked with at Children's Theater, said, come on, you'd really like this. And I went to the first one, and I loved it. And I got to tell you, these people welcomed me with open arms. I can't explain it. I love these people. There's a gentleman who was very active. You remember Herb Graham?
Sure.
You remember Herb? He used to.
What do I look into a thing? Do you think my memory's fading? No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
He was just.
No, I'm joking.
A dear, dear, wonderful man. And he used to say to me, Joni, why do you like this group so much? And I said, I feel, number one, that I learn something every time I'm on stage with these people.
Interesting.
Every time.
Interesting.
And there's not a lot of egos because everyone does this because they love it. And
yeah, but there has to be some ego to get up. Anybody who gets on stage has to have some ego.
There's no egos in this room. Let me take over here.
For him.
Oh.
But honestly, I mean, there is some, of course.
Yeah.
But on the whole, there isn't. And people help each other and people love each other. It's a very special group.
It's an ensemble.
Mm-hmm. It's an ensemble.
It's a family. It's a real family.
You think of it as a family.
Absolutely.
How often do you rehearse?
We have one rehearsal before the show, and then we have a tech rehearsal the day of the show. That's it.
Sometimes there are a few more. This is Joni again. Sometimes there are more when they do a musical.
Sometimes.
Or we've done a few musicals. not that many, and that's more of a hybrid than just the act.
It's well, I'm very grateful too that you say after senior radio players allow men into this group. Joel Daly sitting in there, in the sound booth, looking like a total pro with his headphones on. Roger Badish has left the newsroom to be in here. Who are you guys, and what is it for you? How long have you been involved, and how did you get involved, and why?
I'm John Green, and I want to say that. Something special about old-time radio for me was years ago, a lovely man, Bob O'Donnell, who just passed away, got me involved with Unshackled, which is the radio dramas at Pacific Garden Mission.
Oh, yeah,
worldwide.
I remember that.
And I just loved it.
Yeah.
And I would hear stories from older guys there that used to be in the old-time radio days. You know, they do a radio show, go across town in Chicago. And so when Connie's the one who invited me in and tried it. And I thought, oh, I missed the old-time radio days, but I can play with this.
Yeah. Mr. Lichtenstein?
I'm Herb Lichtenstein. As John was saying, some of the original members of this group actually participated in the golden age of radio. We think of New York and L.A. as being media centers, but in the golden age of radio, Chicago was just as big a center for radio as New York or L.A.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a break. I'm so appreciative of all of you staying up late and coming in tonight. We'll take about a little break because that, as you all well know, is how we pay for this vaunted station and this vaunted show. We'll be back, and then we're going to do a little. We're going to do a portion of one of the shows. Are we not live? You're all ready for that?
Sure, yep. We're ready.
This isn't actually your formal rehearsal, is it? Just joking. We'll be right back with the SAG-AFTRA Radio Players. It's a battle in Brooklyn as the Bulls square off against the Nets. Bulls Nets Monday night at 6:30 on WGN TV Sports.
News, traffic, weather, sports, the Chicago Conversation starts with me, Steve Cochran, every weekday morning on 720 WGN.
Hello, Chicago. It's Jeff from CatSpotLitter.com. Is a cat a part of your family? If so, please listen up. We have a real problem. 8 billion pounds of clumping clay litter gets put into our landfills every year. That's why I created CatSpot Litter. It's 100% organic, all-natural, dust-free, lightweight coconut cat litter. We're thinking healthier, folks, and we hope you are too. With Cat Spot Litter, when your cat's done with it, recycle it. Use it in your yard, flower bed, or your compost pile. Folks, I just want you to give it a try. We offer a money-back guarantee. Just go to CatSpotLitter.com. That's CatSpot, S-P-O-T. Please use promo code COCONUT for 15% off your first order. That's COCONUT. I appreciate you listening.
Since 1992, Eddie's East has grown to be Chicagoland's number one retailer of custom window treatments, the window treatment experts that come to you. Right now, Eddie's East is offering homeowners an incredible limited-time offer. Buy one and get the second at 50% off on select blinds, shades, and drapery. Just call 800-413-7168 to schedule a free shop-at-home appointment with one of our experienced design consultants. Treating customers like family has earned Eddie's East the highest customer satisfaction scores and an A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau. Eddie's East offers exceptional service and the largest selection of today's top brand names and styles with convenient shop-at-home service. Nobody does blinds and drapery better than Eddie's Ease. Nobody. And we'll come to you. And for a limited time, you can save big with our buy one and get 50% off on the second treatment on select blinds, shades, or drapery. Schedule your shop-at-home appointment today and take the first step into transforming that boring space into a showplace. Call 800-413-7168. That's 800-413-7168. 800-413-7168.
I'm back. Well, we can scream in here. I'm signing an autograph for a young man here. It's total chaos in here, but that's the hallmark of the SAG-AFTRA senior radio players. You want to do what? Remind people, let me ask you all another question. You know, we're all of relatively similar age. Studs, who died at 96 about 10 years ago, was person I thought of the old radio days. I know that people listen to Carl Amari's show. I wonder, however, when you talk about the audience for what you do is inevitably a shrinking audience of people who say, oh, yeah, I remember listening to the Lone Ranger. I remember this. It occurs to me that I think what you should be drawing, and I hope you are younger people who don't know who the great Gildersleeve is and don't know who the saint was and never did listen to the radio shows, because instead of fostering nostalgia, you are giving something brand new to these people.
I think we like to get younger people in.
I'll bet.
And sometimes they're just amazed by what they're listening to. They have no idea what it was.
Well, and now with podcasts so popular and all these forms, I think there could be a comeback. I really do.
I don't think there's any question. Yeah. I mean, it's drama on radio, and the creativity that was used. You know, someone just sitting at home, they have to imagine what these people look like, what these people wear. I think it's a wonderful thing.
That's what I was thinking about, Rick, that, you know, you remember when we were younger, listening to radio and how exciting it was.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think if we can instill that in people who really want to be involved with us, it would be great.
It's theater for the mind.
It is. And then for the shut-ins. There are a lot of people who shut in, who are shut in, ill, and it's great entertainment for them.
All right, tell me what we're going to do. Or actually, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to listen and enjoy like an audience member.
We're going to do two, I hope, short scenes from Gildersleeve. And the episode is called Eve and Gildy Get Together. It's from 1944.
I'm ready.
Leroy, I mean, you come back here.
I don't know what scene you're doing.
Oh,
page eight.
Page eight.
Oh, sorry. Let's try that.
Okay.
Take two.
Leroy, you come back here.
I'm not going anywhere, Unc.
You bet you're not. You come into the dining room.
Is there something you want?
Now, young man.
It slipped my mind, Unc, honest.
What did? What slipped your mind?
The report card. I forgot to show it to you.
Where is this report card?
I've got it right here in my pants pocket.
Well, let's have a look at it.
Yes, sir. Huh. It's stuck. I can't seem to get it out.
Perhaps I can help you.
Oh, no. I've got it. There. Report card.
Leroy.
Well, the teacher doesn't like me, Unc.
I don't blame her. Besides, I've heard that before.
What did he get, Uncle Mort?
Never you mind.
Never mind.
You keep out of this, young man.
Yes, sir.
How long have you had this report card?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
I didn't want to spoil your Christmas.
You mean you didn't want to spoil your Christmas? Leroy, this is a very serious matter.
Yes, sir.
How could you deliberately deceive me in that way? After all I've done for you.
I forgot, Unc.
You did not forget. Now, don't keep saying that.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve. If you don't mind, I'll run along now and leave the dishes till later.
Just a minute, Bertie.
Yes, sir?
Bertie, what would you think of a boy who would deliberately hide a report card from his uncle?
Oh, now, I don't think Leroy would do a thing like that. He probably just forgot.
That's right. I forgot.
Quiet, you. Bertie, when we want your opinion, we'll ask for it.
Oh, yes, sir. Excuse me. I thought you asked for it. Well, I'll be going now.
By George, Leroy, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. It seems to me you just go from bad to worse.
Yes, sir.
You won't study. You have no manners. You won't brush your hair.
You think he might clean his nails before he comes to the table, too.
Oh, yeah? Let's see yours. I dare you.
There. Yeah.
Well, they'd look better without that red stuff on them.
I loved it. I loved it. You really brought that dysfunctional family really, really to life. Pat Van Harris, you must be very pleased with the.
I am.
She's a director.
I truly am pleased with them, considering this is our
First run through?
First run through, yes.
this is like a table reading here. You guys were great.
Yes.
You guys were great. You were really, really in character.
Our rehearsal is not until Tuesday morning.
Your rehearsal is right now. Right now. You have another scene? You want to slip in another one? What is this one? Just set it up a bit.
27?
Yeah.
Or maybe page 31.
It doesn't matter. Just grab a page and start reading.
Why don't we do the one on 31? Because that includes...
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to explain it?
The school principal is visiting Gildersleeve and is having dinner with him because she wants to talk to Gildersleeve about Leroy. I'll bet she does.
I'm surprised. Does Leroy at the end, at some episode in Gildersleeve, wind up in prison or anything?
He's only 10 years old.
Well, I know. Well, eventually. But you just get that sense that this kid could be headed for trouble.
Well, he runs for president.
There are two ways people can go these days.
The other segment of this scene involves Eve, the principal, angling for the affections of Gildersleeve.
Oh, interesting.
He's an available man. Oh, I don't really think you have to worry about Leroy.
Leroy, I mean, yes, that's how you pronounce it.
It's just that he's going through that difficulty.
How long does it last? It seems to me he's been going through it ever since I've known him.
Well, boys will be boys. There's nothing really wrong with Leroy. I've talked to his teacher about him, and we both feel all he needs is guidance.
Well, I punish him regularly, about twice a week.
Well, I don't mean quite that.
Here's the clubs, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, well, thank you, Bertie.
Anything else?
No, I think we've got everything. Thanks. Will you pour, Eve?
I'd be delighted.
Click, 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 click.
Oh, I love having coffee in the evening, don't you?
Sure do. I like it for breakfast, too. And for lunch.
Throckmorton, has it ever occurred to you that Leroy might need a mother?
Well, I tried to be a father.
Come on. Well, you have,
and I admire you for it. Everyone does.
Well, he's a good kid. They're both good kids.
But don't you think they need someone who can give them what a mother has to give them?
Well, I never thought of it that way. Maybe you're right.
Someone who would not only be a guide and a mother to them, but, well, you have yourself to think of, too. After all, a house without love isn't much of a home. You must have felt that.
You know, it's funny, you saying that. I almost got married about a year ago. I guess I told you.
Yes, you told me.
Then I sort of gave up the idea. Maybe I shouldn't.
Well, we've all had our disappointments, but I don't think you should let one unfortunate affair sour you on the whole idea. If at first you don't succeed.
Oh, Eve, you're wonderful. You don't know what you've done for me this evening. You've made up my mind for me.
Have I, Throckmorton?
For months now, I've been this way and that. Should I or shouldn't I?
I know, I have too.
But when you bring up the kids, that settles it. By George, I'll do it.
Oh, you seem very sure of yourself, Mr. Gildersleeve. After all, you haven't asked the girl, you know.
Listen, with Beauregard out of the way, Leela will marry me in a minute.
The cup drops on the saucer.
Eve, is something wrong?
If you'll excuse me, I think I better be going.
But Eve, so early, you haven't even finished your coffee.
End of scene.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're pretty dense, I must tell you. Your character is pretty dense.
Oh, because he's huge.
Connie Foster, you play a very seductive young woman. I can't imagine him not falling for you.
Sir.
That was fabulous. So the entire, will you be doing an entire on Thursday or March 1st at Thursday, an entire half hour?
Yes. Yes.
That represents an episode of Gildersleeve?
Yes.
The whole episode. Those parts. Wow.
With the pianist.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful writing.
And then he goes to Leela's house, played by Mercedes DeMonk.
So we have a little bit of a scene about that, too.
Oh, I see. And Mercedes, do you... Don't spoil it. You can tell me off air whether you turn whether you turn this character down and take or
I
take
certainly
the
reason they do. Lila Ransom's not going to take any guff from him.
Yes, and I think it's all. I must tell you, I think it's all Leroy's fault. We're going to talk more after the news, which would be delivered by Roger Badish, who is directing The Saint. We got to get some commercials in first, then we'll get news. Thanks, Aubrey. Aubrey Mumpire is the guy who directs this show, along with Lise Graham. Take it away, Aubrey. Look at you're getting applause here. It rarely happens.
Hi, everyone. Steve Bertrand here, inviting you to join my wife Sharon and me on a 10-day October tour of England. We'll do tea on the Thames, Stonehenge, the Roman ruins in Bath, and more. We'll go punting in Cambridge, wander the Cotswolds, and decode World War II at Bletchley Park.
This was their fighting power.
Find all the details at WGNradio.com. Email me at SteveBertrandTravel.com, or just give me a call at 847-606-6065. We'll even go to Windsor Castle and reenact scenes from The Crown.
Good Lord.
All right, we won't do that. We will go to Windsor Castle, but fake British accents are strictly forbidden.
Hi, I'm Patty Vasquez. I'd like to congratulate the American Lung Association on the 10th anniversary of their Fight for Air Climb at Presidential Towers. For 10 years, the Lung Association has raised funds to find a cure for lung disease and help people manage their lung illnesses through educational training. Support the Lung Association and take part in Chicago's biggest stair climb. Join us on Sunday, March 11th for the Fight for Air Climb presented by United Healthcare at Presidential Towers. Register at fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100.
Hey, it's Jason Benetti for ready.illinois.gov with a message for the thousands of Illinoisans with functional needs. Needless to say, everyone needs to have an emergency disaster plan and disaster kit, but that plan and kit may look a lot different for those with functional needs. Learn how to make a plan and a kit that best serves your needs and the needs of your family and even your pets. At ready.illinois.gov, there's tips for caregivers and seniors, too. Make a plan and make a kit. Find out how at ready.illinois.gov. That's ready.illinois.gov.
Sponsored by IEMA.
Attention, Chicago. How would you like to earn $1, $2, or perhaps $5,000 a month in passive mailbox money? Then here's an amazing opportunity just for you. Actor Dean Cain, known as Superman, and now a real estate investor with the National Real Estate Network, are giving away their Riches and Flipping CD for free to anyone who calls right now. They'll even show you step-by-step how to create monthly cash flow for your pockets and flip houses for huge profits, all in just 90 days. Call now and you will also receive 4 VIP tickets to attend their free live Riches and Flipping event, where Dean and their team are looking for a handful of people in your area to join their exclusive team. You do not need your own money and you do not need good credit. You just need to call right now. Call 1-800-519-0391 now to get your free CD. 800-519-0391 now, and you'll get free tickets to a live training with a free meal, a smartwatch, and a flash drive loaded with vital information. All free just for attending. Call 800-519-0391. That's 800-519-0391. Call now.
Send me this information. I'm rambling on. It's Rick Kogan. We got to get some news in, and then we're going to hear a bit of The Saint, which I guess stars Joel Daly, who you loved from television. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's a little after 9:30, but he is the last person who can complain, because here's Roger Badish, a director for the SAG-AFTRA Radio Players, brought to you by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Mark Vallis, the 24-year-old son of former Chicago Public School CEO Paul Vallis, has died in California, a family member telling the Chicago Sun-Times. Investigation is being handled by the Huntington Beach Police Department. Storm crews have confirmed an EF2 tornado struck in south-central Kentucky, where a woman died at her home. National Weather Service saying preliminary information indicates the tornado had maximum sustained winds of 135 miles an hour. An $8.5 billion deal to expand and rehab O'Hare is nearly ready to get underway. 8-year plan will tear down and rebuild Terminal 2, which is the home for Delta Airlines and Air Canada. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Hi, Barry Sterner, founder of Townstone Financial. I want to answer some frequently asked home mortgage questions today. First, how much do I need for a down payment? There are 1% down payment programs currently running, as well as programs that will allow you to get the entire down payment as a gift. We also have programs where a family member can co-sign for the mortgage in order to help the borrower qualify. Do I need perfect credit to qualify for a loan? The answer is no. All these programs have restrictions, so please give me a call at 312-896-2110, and I'll be happy to go over them. Another question is, can I take cash out of my house to pay off high-interest credit card debt? The answer is yes, but you need to have enough equity in your house to make it happen. Why Townstone instead of the big banks? Because since 2002, we pride ourselves on beating the big banks on closing costs and interest rates every day. Remember, nobody values your home mortgage business more than Townstone. I guarantee it, and I own the company. So call 312-896-2110 or go to townstone.com. That's T-O-W-N-S-T-O-N-E.com.
Townstone Financial, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, Illinois, mortgage licensee 6629 and NMLS 136639, equal housing lender.
At North Shore Cardiovascular Institute, we're pushing the boundaries of heart care. Teams of leading heart experts work together, exploring the latest treatment options to keep you and your heart strong. From minimally invasive valve repair, to analyzing your genes for risk of heart disease, to advanced alternatives to traditional open heart surgery, so you don't miss a beat. North Shore University Health System. Healthcare for what's next. Northshore.org/cardio.
WGN Sports, Iowa beating Northwestern 77-70 at the end of the regular season. Northwestern starts the Big Ten tournament on Thursday. Exhibition baseball, Cubs and Sox both win. The White Sox will meet the Cubs Tuesday in Cactus League play. The game is at 2 o'clock with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson on your new radio home for the White Sox, 720. WGN Blackhawks will visit San Jose on Thursday. WGN traffic, we're not seeing any delays on the area expressways, tollways, or highways right now. For traffic in the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Rest of the overnight, mostly clear, windy, low around 32. Monday, sunny, breezy, high near 50. Right now, 39 at O'Hare, 41 at East Chicago and along the lakefront, 40 at Midway. Lake Michigan water temperature, 37, winds out of the west at 9. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Roger Badish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. I was just philosophizing about my... Before we move on to the Saint and Joel Daly, I need to hear from Lila Ransom, who is going to be hit on, so to speak, by the great Gildersleeve on Thursday night at the Claudia Cassidy Theater.
Yes, as the show evolves, Gildy comes over to propose to me, but he is not at all interested in looking at the baby pictures I have of my niece. And so I am completely upset with him, and I make him leave the house immediately.
I can just tell by your voice and accent, you're too good for him, aren't you?
Oh, thank you, Rick.
My pleasure. I sense that immediately. I don't mean to offend the good Mr. Gildersleeve, but I can just tell by your sense of sophistication and beauty, which doesn't really translate over the radio, that you weren't. Joel Daly, it's great to see you. How did you get involved with these charming, delightful, talented people?
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Read in a column in the Tribune that the after players were going to do War of the Worlds. My roommate and I in college did that show. We produced it ourselves and sent it to Orson Welles. That was the famous
spoof. The man who created it, yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a great thing, and maybe I can get involved. And so I called after, and I said, how do you get in this group? And they said, well, you got to be older than 55. And I said, I qualify. And
that's
from
it.
Then
yeah.
On, I just keep auditioning, and I keep doing some great shows.
It's fun for you. I know you did. I mean, I've known you for a very long time and written about you a number of times.
Go back to Pudgy.
That's true. We go back to some bad bars, as they say. We go back to some bad, but legendary, but bad bars. You did a one-man show of Clarence Darrow.
Yes, I did. At the Cultural Center.
Yeah, I remember. I remember the photo.
You did a nice story.
We took a photo of you out there. Have you always, being in television news, I think of Studs, who acted when he was young, and it always seemed to me to be kind of a born actor, no matter what he was doing, where no matter where he was. It, true for you too, Joel? I mean, being on television, I'm not saying as a newsman you're acting, but there are elements of acting that, you know?
Whatever you do as an actor to project, to communicate, yeah. you have to do as an anchor person.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same technique.
So let me hear Roger Badish
yes.
here to tell. Oh, okay, Roger.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Tell me about The Saint.
The Saint was a character developed by Leslie Charteris in his 20s. It became a very popular radio show with Vincent Price, later to be done on television by Roger Moore. And he was sort of a Robin Hood. He took for himself, but he gave to the poor, and he took care of the poor. And that's why he was called a saint.
I'm going to tell you a quick anecdote, all of you, because it's of an era. Vincent Price used to, when he was in town, he was doing maybe some kind of theater in Chicago or something. He is playing. He is Ed Holstein is playing at the Earl of Oldtown, and Vincent Price used to like to take in young ladies to have drinks at the Earl of Oldtown. And Eddie was up on stage, and he sees Vincent Price, and everybody knows who Vincent Price is. He sees Vincent Price sort of very aggressively hitting up this young woman. And finally, by seducing her back to his hotel room by saying, "Why don't we go back to my hotel room? I have a lot of this young performer's records at my hotel room." Ed Holstein did not have any records. And as a result, he has ever admired Vincent Price for that one thing. I certainly remember the TV show. Set up this, Roger.
Yeah, I'm here. I can set it up for you.
Sure.
This is an episode from November of 1950.
I can't hear it.
No, he said, I'll translate. This is an episode from, go ahead.
November 1950.
November 19th, 1950.
Yeah, it's called No Hiding Place. And what's happened here
is...
I should come in there, shouldn't I?
Yes.
I should. Well, I'll explain it, and then if you could just tell them to go ahead and do it.
Okay.
What's going on is that the Saint has received a letter from a prisoner, Tommy Patrick.
The Saint has gotten a letter from a prisoner.
And asking to save him because he thinks his life is threatened. And while the Saint is at the prison to check on him, there's an escape, and it's the person the Saint is looking for, trying to find. So what we have here is the Saint after the prison. The Saint needs to go check on where Tommy Patrick used to live, and he, of course, needs a ride. So we have in your studios there, we have the Saint, which is Joel Daly.
Yes.
And Herb is Louis the cab driver. We are Louis now on the streets, and the Saint walks up to the cab driver.
Cue the action.
The Saint walks up to the cab driver. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Taxi, taxi, taxi. Well, good afternoon, Louis.
Afternoon, Mr. Templar. Ain't it a heavenly day?
Yes, Louis, it is.
Where to, Mr. Templar?
312 Main Street, Louis.
Gotcha. You read about that prison break last night, Mr. Templar? They say this Patrick rode out in a laundry truck. You think they'll catch him?
Oh, sooner or later, Louis. They always do.
You know something? I kind of hope they don't, in my sub-unconscious, that is. Why is that, Mr. Templar?
The universal guilt feeling, Louis. Whenever there's a man in hiding, that man might be you or me.
Yeah, Freud, huh?
Louis, it's Freud.
That's what I said, Siegfried Freud. You know something more, Mr. Templar? I kind of felt this way when that leopard escaped last spring, remember? Then he come back to his cage all by himself. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, an allegory, Louis.
No, it was a leopard. You think Patrick will come back to the cage, Mr. Templar?
Well, I'm afraid for that him, there's no hiding place. Hey, isn't this Main Street, Louis?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, 312. Yeah, anybody we know?
I got a tip that Tommy Patrick used to live here. Perhaps if I can help him, then you and I won't feel so guilty. Wait for me, Louis, all right?
Sure.
And there we go, and that's
I'll
the scene.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and
what's
then
a
that's
the
first. Roger's talking here.
Yeah, that's the first scene. He then walks up to the door and realizes he's been to that place before and spoken to that woman before. So that's the setup to the.
Well, how do you think?
Caper.
All right, Roger Bettish, yeah. They can't hear you, so this is perfect. You're the director of the show. How do you think they just did? What do you can tell me? I won't pass it on.
There's a reason why I selected those two for those roles.
There's a reason why he selected the two of you for these roles, and I won't keep them in suspense anymore. And that reason would be Roger Bettish.
Because they're perfect.
Because you're perfect.
Oh.
They were, We got to take a little commercial break. We'll come back for some more time with the SAG-AFTRA Senior Radio. I'm not calling you Senior Radio Players. I'm calling you the SAG-AFTRA Radio Players. That's nonsense. Y'all look younger than I do. The show takes place this coming Thursday, and again, I will emphasize it is a free show. Doors open at 6:30 Thursday at the Claudia Cassidy Theater. In the Cultural Center, if you don't know where that is, you certainly aren't a Chicagoan, but it's between Washington and Randolph on Michigan Avenue across from that place called Millennium Park. It is, again, free. There will be one presentation of The Saint and a radio show, half hour, and the other of The Great Gildersleeve, where the Gildersleeve is just trying to get a wife and is getting turned down by all sorts of good-looking women. It will star these charming, charming people who are in here. Roger Bettish is directing the episode of The Saint, and Pat Vern Harris is directing the episode of The Great Gildersleeve. We'll take a little commercial break and come back and talk some more with these lovely people.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN. All of us online.
Chicago.
And on demand. WGNradio.com.
A smile is a sign of confidence. At Eon Clinics, we know how important it is to talk, laugh, and live every day without worrying about your appearance.
I'm more confident. I don't mind being in front of a group speaking. I don't hide behind my hand anymore.
Don't let one more day pass without knowing your options. Our dental implants can not only change the way you look, but how you feel about yourself.
They've made me a much happier person. I don't mind smiling. I don't mind being in pictures. And I don't mind laughing out loud.
Love yourself. Invest in your smile with dental implants placed by our gentle, knowledgeable doctors. Take a step towards a better life with Eon Clinics. Call Eon Clinics today at 844-432-SMILE. That's 844-432-SMILE. Or visit our website at eonclinics.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Warranty good as long as you own your mattress. Details at NectarSleep.com.
When we told the mattress industry we were going to create the most comfy mattress the world had ever seen, they said, no way. And when we said we'd offer our memory foam mattress at a price that's hundreds less than the showrooms, they said, yeah, right. So we went one step further and said, we'll let customers enjoy it for a full 365 nights with free no-hassle returns. They said, you're crazy. And when they said, what else are you going to do, offer a warranty forever? We said, that sounds like a great idea. We're Nectar, and we make the mattress that's keeping the mattress industry up at night. Enjoy a better night's sleep with a better mattress and even better value. For $125 off our already low price, plus two free Nectar pillows, text SLEEP to 234234, or go to NectarSleep.com. Text SLEEP to 234234. S-L-E-E-P to 234234. Nectar for sweet, sweet sleep.
Welcome back. This is Rick Hogan. The show is After Hours. It has been an unbelievable delight to have in here a vast crowd, all of them members of the SAG-AFTRA Radio Players. They will be performing. You heard some bits and pieces of The Saint, which will be starring Joel Daly and Herb Lichtenstein, and The Great Gildersleeve, which stars all the rest of these fine people in here. Pat Vern Harris is directing, Joni Winter's in it, Connie Foster, Mercedes de Monk turns down Gildersleeve. It rivals anything on cable television these days. One thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you're young, Come see these shows. If you don't have any idea who the great Gildersleeve is or who the saint was, it's worth your time to drop in. First of all, it's free. Doesn't cost you anything. Second of all, it's very convenient at the Cultural Center. And third, you'll be getting it fresh. You will have no baggage. You will have no nostalgia. You'll be getting it very directly and viscerally, and I think that's really great. Don't you, Roger Badish?
Yeah, I do. And I think
now, have you been in some of these shows?
I have. For how long have I been with the group now? Maybe.
Don't tell me you played the newsman.
That's Joel's part. In The Whistler, in an episode of The Whistler, I actually whistled at the beginning. I'm the only one in the group who can hold a whistle for more than 5 seconds.
Well, that'll keep you employed.
I was Tonto to John Landecker's Lone Ranger.
That's right.
I was the goofy groom in an episode of some other mystery episode. I've done a handful over the years. Of course, other things have gotten in the way of doing more, but I got into it because I've known about the group for a long time, but I wasn't old enough to get into it back when I first heard about it.
Well, you could have pretended. They wouldn't have checked your driver's license.
Well, I've always been mistaken for being older than I was, which is how I got into bars before I was 21. Uh-oh. But since I was teaching broadcasting, and I had a huge unit on the history of broadcasting, and especially on old-time radio, and I made my students do old-time radio shows, when I heard about the group, and it may even have been from your column.
Could be.
Way back when, I jumped at a chance to audition.
Has it been as rewarding for you? I just get a sense from all of you folks that this is more than a hobby. This is much more than a modest diversion, that this is a very, very meaningful and rewarding thing for all of you. Anybody.
Absolutely.
I would say we were passionate about it.
Yeah, I sense that.
I would like to remind you that as a member of good standing in SAG-AFTRA and our union brother, you are welcome to audition and perform in any of our upcoming shows as well.
Yeah, if you're old enough,
What
Rick?
Are you, insane? I'm not auditioning for anything. What are you, crazy?
And you're not old enough, are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm old enough. Oh, yeah. I'm no Roger Badish, but I am old enough.
There's no ego involved.
Of course not. No, certainly not on my part either. Have you ever thought, there's a group of actors in town, almost all of them old enough to be joined. I don't know if they're members of SAG-AFTRA or not. People like Gary Houston and Nate Herman, who have been putting on dramatic readings of films. I think they've done.
I'm a part of that group.
You're everywhere. I think that's another aspect of this whole thing. Then there's the Chicago Shakespeare Project, which puts on these free. Really serious on book, though. I mean, they're reading on book. I think this is a marvelous kind of, you know, dramatic subculture in Chicago, but a famous theater town. But doesn't it seem wonderful to any and all of you that you have all of these things going on?
All of these storytellers.
Yeah.
I want to make a plug.
Here, get closer to that mic.
I'm a writer with Chicago Dramatists, too.
Oh, wow, sure.
Stage readings every Saturday and the same kind of purity of storytelling.
Yeah, I think if you look or go see these characters on Thursday night at the Claudia Cassidy Theater and ask them, network that way. Are you all still working? Yeah, Roger, go ahead.
Well, I don't know how your time is running here.
Wait a minute. You know more than I do.
Well, I looked at it. I didn't know
works.
What your commercial load was.
We got Aubrey. What do we got?
We good for a couple
we're
minutes?
We're all the way till 10 o'clock. We have ladies and gentlemen, we have 7 solid minutes to yak.
Well, a couple of quick things about the show. It's not just people standing on stage reading the scripts.
Right.
We do the entire production, which means we have the
sound
open
effects.
And close. We have the commercials from the shows
are
read in the shows. And we have live sound effects. So when someone's supposed to be walking over in the sound effects department, someone is walking on wood, special wood that echoes, and there's a microphone down there to pick it up.
Wow.
Open the door, close it, windows. Even a fight, which Joel Daly will be involved in two or three of them during the show.
Two or three fights?
Fights. There will be someone else doing the punching. All Joel has
to
do...
Yeah. I get beat up bad.
All Joel has to do is grunt a few times.
Oh!
There you go.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen.
This is how he got the part.
Wow.
This is awesome.
And Konai Shaughnessy has been our sound person
for many members are... Is it a... You know, if you have to audition, there's that formalizes it somewhat. How many members are there in the SAG-AFTRA Radio Players? Do you know?
Well, I would say at the Christmas party, everybody shows up. whether they show up the rest of the year or not,
yeah.
There might be about 50 at the Christmas party. Uh-huh. I think they're usually around 30 for the auditions.
Yeah.
And the reason we have auditions is because we want to treat it just like a job would be. We just don't say, I'm going to pick Herb for this or I'm going to
sure.
pick you for this. It's got to be an audition kind of a thing, you know. And
well,
I will say Joel Daly is so terrific. He will do anything. I mean, he might want one particular role, but if we say, really need you as an ounce on this, he'll do it. He's a cool, wonderful man.
What a nice thing to say.
Well, now, it's true.
Mercita,
it's
true. Do you and Connie as the executive, who runs the auditions? Who makes the call on this? Because I know anybody who has been in SAG-AFTRA for any amount of years is absolutely used to and almost loving rejection because you know it better than
no,
you know it better than anything in the world.
We accept it, but we don't love it.
you get used to it, that's for sure. But who makes the call? On the audition.
Well, we have a steering committee, but we also we choose the directors for the shows, mm-hmm. and the directors will
gotcha.
Figure out who the cast
gotcha.
Is.
Gotcha. Roger, was this hard for you? How big is your cast in The Saint, by the way?
The what?
In The Saint, how big is the cast? Joel and Herb
and
how many others?
12 people, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
With all the different people. Some of them are very short, small roles.
Still.
But again, in acting, there are no small roles.
Yeah.
You know.
They're only small actors, I know.
We've got that. I will tell you this. I think casting this was one of the hardest things I've had to do in my life. Seriously.
Really?
Seriously. I was exhausted by the end. I think I was in there for about 2 hours by the time I got done seeing everyone. And I have an assistant, a producer, Rob Alton, who helped. He was there with me, and we talked things out and knocked things around and stuff. And then I leaned on Mercita and Connie for a lot of guidance because, again, this is my first directing role. But by the end of the day, I didn't have the strength to leave the office to go to my car to drive home. It was that exhausting, seriously.
But exciting, right?
Yeah, it was exciting.
Yeah.
It was I as the day went on and I started hearing voices that like, oh, my God, that fits the perfect role. Or maybe I like the way the inflection is, but maybe we can change the voice a little bit. Give it to me in this way.
Yeah.
Let me see if you might be the one I want. And then the list. And then, of course, we didn't really have that many trying out on this past time. So then... Pat and I had to sit down for about an hour afterwards to make sure that we didn't have that many duplications. Same people on the same in both roles.
Yeah, I had about five people that he wanted that I wanted to.
Yeah.
We
worked it out and
it
got it down to only one duplicate, and that's Herb.
It sounds so exciting. I got to ask you, in the minute or two we have left, and I've been in here with Herb Lichtenstein, Pat Fern Harris, Joni Winter, Connie Foster, Mercita DeMonk, John Green, Alma Washington, Joel Daly, and Roger Badish. Do any of you get nervous before a show?
Oh, yes. And when you lose your place, which I have done, you panic. So it's all the things that go along with the auditioning for it.
Well, you people have been beyond charming, delightful, and entertaining.
Oh, you.
These are members of the SAG-AFTRA Radio Players. They'll be premiering episodes of The Saint and The Great Gildersleeve. Doors open at 6:30. Showtime is at 7, Thursday night at the Claudia Cassidy Theater at the Cultural Center. thank you for staying up late and for enlightening me and entertaining me and all these people listening.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
You guys are the best.
For having
you guys are the best. You guys are the best. And the Gildersleeve is now fascinating. I'm going to literally tomorrow we'll be doing research on this crazy character and his.
You want me to tell some of the stories about us?
I know.
We're out of time.
No, that's for. That's
a different show.
That's for Sirius FM, Joel. I think, you know, that can only be... Well, Howard Stern has been after me to get you and me on his show to talk about misadventure. He wants to call it Misadventures on Randall Street and Rush Street. those were good times, though, I got to tell you. And the good times are still happening. You people have been... I've known about you, but I hope for many, many, many listeners out there, you've also been a revelation. I mean, and bring your kids, ladies and gentlemen, because that's the jolt to just be introduced to this. It's one thing to go, oh, yeah, I remember that episode.
Yeah.
It's another thing to go, holy Christ, this is fantastic. Yeah. It's drama.
And to watch live sound effects is fascinating.
I know. It's ideas from the mind. So thank you all. Get home safely.
Thank you.
And knock them dead, as they say.
My pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn, and through the magic of radio, guess who's in there to deliver the news for you at 10 o'clock, but Roger Badish.
Thank you very much. Fair skies, 39 at O'Hare. Disaster emergencies have been declared in 3 counties in Illinois, 11 counties in Indiana. WGN's Pam Jones says some Indiana residents have been advised to evacuate.
A levee breach on the Kankakee River in Jasper County, Indiana, is forcing residents to leave their homes. The area is a little over 80 miles south of Chicago. Firefighters and the DNR have been using boats to transport people who want to leave. Others, like Bill Boyles, insist they will ride out the flood.
Sat here, drank my coffee, eat cookies, smoked my pipe, got a little flask of moonshine, and waited out.
Pam Jones, WGN News.
A hint of spring is in store this week. WGN meteorologist Mike Hamernick says the next couple of days will bring us the mildest weather we've seen since last fall.
We've had a couple of 60-degree days over the winter time, but those have been accompanied by rain or thunderstorms and cloudy skies, but nice 50 and 60-degree weather coming up.
Hamernick also says we'll see little or no rain the next few days, which will help flooding troubles in Illinois and Indiana. In Parkland, Florida, students and parents returned to Stoneman Douglas High School today, the scene of this month's deadly school shooting. School officials say classes resume on Wednesday. ABC's Kenneth Moten is in Parkland.
Students will have a half day because this week is all about providing emotional support to get them comfortable in the school. But Building 12, where the massacre happened, will never be used again. The superintendent says it will be torn down, and the school will likely build a memorial park for the 17 people killed.
ABC's Kenneth Moten in Parkland, Florida. NRA says it opposes raising the legal age by an assault-style rifle to 21, regulation being proposed by Republicans, including President Trump. NRA's chief spokesperson laid out the group's position on ABC's This Week. ABC's Stephanie Ramos reports.
Another point of contention, banning bump stocks like the one used in the deadly Las Vegas concert rampage that killed 58 people. The president repeating in a phone interview he supports the ban, but NRA spokeswoman Dana Lash clear on the group's opposition to that proposal.
The NRA doesn't back any ban.
One proposal the president and the NRA have seen eye to eye on, securing schools. The president calling for some teachers to be armed.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. Even though changing the Illinois taxation system requires a constitutional amendment, gubernatorial candidate Daniel Biss says that needs to happen now. Biss says a new law would show voters how tax rates and the state budget would affect them, something that could be put on a referendum.
They're not voting on a theory. They're saying if we vote yes, we get this particular tax code and budget and government system. And if we vote no, we have to stick with the status quo. And I think in that environment, people will be eager to vote yes.
You can hear that entire interview as a podcast on our website at WGNRadio.com. He was a guest on our Sunday Spin program with Rick Pearson. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
The all-new Liberty Subaru in Libertyville is celebrating the grand opening in a big way. Get grand opening savings on brand-new Subarus, like a new 2018 Subaru Forester 2.5i, lease for only $145 a month for 36 months. Or a new 2018 Subaru Outback 2.5i, lease for only $129 a month for 36 months. Or 0% for 63 months. You pick. A new Subaru Forester 2.5i, only $145 a month for 36 months. A new Subaru Outback 2.5i, only $129 a month for 36 months. Or get 0% for 63 months. Our huge grand opening savings are happening now at the all-new Liberty Subaru in Libertyville. You've got to come see it. Liberty Subaru in Libertyville on Route 176 in Libertyville. LibertyAutoCitySubaru.com. Forester and Outback, 36-month lease, $25.95 due at signing. Includes first payment, no security deposit required, plus tax, title, license, and dock fee. 10,000 miles per year with approved credit on select models. $15.87 per 1,000 finance with zero down.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Scientists tell us that Earth is overdue for a huge solar flare. Bad news, it'll probably fry our electronics and technology. Good news, we'll all get a spectacular tan. Well, a good place to hunker down for the looming sunpocalypse is Motel 6. You'll get a great low rate on a great room under a roof and save more for other stuff, like sunscreen or a nice big hat. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. Or maybe not.
WGN Sports, Iowa over Northwestern 77-70 as the regular season comes to an end. Northwestern will start the Big Ten tournament on Thursday. Exhibition baseball, Cubs and Sox both win. White Sox will meet the Cubs Tuesday in Mesa. Games at 2 o'clock with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson on your new radio home for the White Sox, 720. WGN Hawks will be in San Jose on Thursday. Let's check WGN traffic. Esmeralda Leon.
Pretty quiet right now on the roads. Northbound Bishop Ford at 130th. We do have a crash there. Other than that, you're not seeing any problems. Edens is 15 in both directions. Kennedy is clear. So is the Eisenhower and the Stevenson. Dan Ryan is 14 minutes in both directions. Lakeshore Drive looking good. We're not seeing any problems. Bishop Ford, as I said, we have that crash at 130th on the northbound side. I-57 is clear. And the tolls, you're seeing some scattered delays on 294 right around Irving Park Road, I-55 and around 79th Street. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic's Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Esmeralda Leon, WGN Traffic Central.
And your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Rest of the overnight, mostly clear, windy, a low around 32. Monday, sunny, breezy, high near 50. Right now, 39 at O'Hare, 40 at Midway and along the lakefront, 34 in Geneva. Lake Michigan water temperature, 37. Winds out of the west at 7. I'm Roger Battish in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, we now only have three people in the studio. That was manic. Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. I got in the mail a book, and I get a lot of books in the mail. And this was called TSA Baggage, and it sat on my desk for a week or two. And then I read it and thought, oh, my God, this is one of the most interesting books I've ever read. Scott Becker and I have corresponded before about... I don't remember what we corresponded about, but this book
Studs
really...
Studs Terkel.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we had some connection with Studs, right?
Right.
This book really took me by surprise. I thought, oh, well, it'd be easy for someone to write a book about TSA. Everybody hates or admires TSA. This book is humorous, but it's also very insightful. You write in the book, Scott, that one of your goals, one of my goals in writing this book, was to humanize the people of TSA. These really are people that we, the travelers, look right through, and we are predisposed to not like them because they are in our way. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. They're just barely above the IRS in terms of disdain.
Yeah.
And there's no good reason for it.
You joined TSA shortly after TSA was founded in the wake of the horrible 9/11 disaster. Why?
Well, one, I was looking for a job.
Yeah.
And I actually was working at Barnes & Noble at the time. And I was looking for something different to do, and someone told me that their son became a manager there with no previous experience, and I just thought, you know, I'd like to do something like that. I'd like to give back.
Did you have any idea what kind of was involved? I mean, I think in the early days of TSA, before, you know, any hassles developed, people didn't really know what it entailed. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't have the faintest idea. And I went there blindly. I went to a hotel near O'Hare, and there were about 500 of us that were applying for the job. And I was there all day from 8 in the morning until almost 7 at night. And I kept thinking, I'm not going to get taken. And then somebody finally said, no, actually, the ones that are here are going. And maybe 100 of us out of at least 500.
Did you notice at the point any similarity between you? What would make one be accepted by the TSA at that point? That you could stand up, speak English? I don't know.
Well,
you know what I mean?
At that point, believe it or not, they had, I'm told, the second highest educational background of any agency in the federal government. It was at that point that the economy was really in the tank, and a lot of people went there, and supposedly they were right behind NASA. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what we were told at the time.
Do you think a lot of people, thought it appealed to you, you heard about someone else getting a job there, do you think there were a lot of people applying for that job out of some strange sense of patriotism? I don't...
Oh, absolutely.
Do you?
Yes,
do you?
Absolutely.
You met dozens of them, obviously.
I met hundreds of them, thousands of them.
And that they were motivated by a sense of trying to protect the United States of America.
No question about it.
Interesting.
One of the things that people always said was, not on my watch. After a while, there was a sense that some of the people that got there were, they advertised on milk cartons. True in some areas, and they talk about the fact that you just had to have a warm body and a high school education and be a citizen. There was that, but that was not the case back then. There were many. I've got an MBA from the University of Chicago. There were PhDs, many, many people.
So there's no way to, of the crowd that you were hired with, there's no way to really generalize, oh, they were from 25 to 38 and they were, 80% white and they had master's degrees. No way to generalize.
No, they were older. They were definitely older. Huh. And now it's a much younger group. Now it's, you have a lot of them out of high school, or it may be the first job in some cases.
One of your one of the best chapters in this book, and again, the book is TSA Baggage, an inside look at the good, the bad, and the ugly at America's airports. I'll tell you another thing before we get deeper into the book. One of the great revelations in here is your description. You're talking about O'Hare is a city and a half.
It is.
Basically,
it is.
Isn't it?
Yes.
You know, most people encounter it, boom, drop me off, have the Uber drop you off, walk inside, get in line, have a cup of coffee, have a drink, get on a plane. They have no idea, do they?
Oh, they have no idea what's underneath, underground there. When I started writing it, or actually through the process, I had one of my wife's cousins read the book. And she said, what you really need to do is make sure that one of the heroes of the book is the airport.
Good.
And I tried to do that.
Yeah, you did.
And it's a city of 40 to 45,000 people.
45,000 people work there.
Right.
Every day.
Every day.
When I think of it, I felt stupid when I read that because I thought, okay, I should know that. But my encounters with the airport are like everybody's encounters. I also love this line at the beginning of the book because I just flew to L.A. in a strange kind of in and out one day, which is no way to fly. I don't want to sit, you know, 8 hours on
especially
an airplane.
There.
And it's weird, but there's something surreal about it, too. But the third paragraph of your book, in the foreword, it begins, "We always joked that passengers drop at least 50 IQ points the second they arrive at the airport." I watched that happen.
Oh,
people, I know it's not like everybody walks into the airport and then seems to behave as if they have never seen an airport before, don't know what a plane is,
right,
and don't know that they can't carry on the airplane a bottle of vodka or something. It is astonishing. Once you realize that, it's one of the life's great truths, I think.
And they're two stories that really point that up very, very effectively. One, somebody walked up to me and said, can you tell me where to meet the plane from Colorado?
Right.
And I said, what airline? I don't know. What city? I don't know. Well, I have no idea where to tell you to go. I mean, there's
yeah.
no way.
Yeah, there are these big boards there that may give you a clue.
Right. But the other thing was, and I swear to God, there's a picture in the book, and the pictures are really not very good in the book. But it was right outside the checkpoint 8, which is in Terminal 3, and it's the first class checkpoint, and it was closed. And there are these signs that say, "Please wait." And people were standing in line about 2 hours after the checkpoint had closed, and somebody walked up and said, "You know, there's a checkpoint right over there that's open. You can go there. You can go there right now. This isn't going to be open until 5 a.m. They said, "That's okay, we'll wait."
What do you think it is? Do you think part of it is fear that there is some kind of inherent human fear of flying that makes a part of the brain turn off the minute you get to an airport?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. It's absolutely true. And there's a fear of flying. There's a fear of the airport and it being so big. There's a fear of TSA.
Yeah,
you know, I mentioned that as people walk up, they vomit, they pee, they soil their pants.
I know.
And this happens all the time.
It's like, oh, my God. You have a fascinating in here chapter about animals also, and I don't even want to get into the animal stuff too much. But I'm here with Scott Becker for the rest of this half hour. The book is TSA Baggage, an inside look at the good, the bad, and the ugly at America's airports. It's available in bookstores, and you can just go online. You'll find it anywhere. It's a good title, TSA Baggage. We will be back in 2 minutes, one of which I'll devote to telling you that Chicago knows best, right? Hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. We'll be right back.
Okay, I'm here to tell you what's coming up on my show, which isn't right now. And the problem with that is, between then and right now, some crazy cuckoo bananas thing is probably going to happen, and I'll be talking about that. So never mind this.
Yeah.
Just listen for that cuckoo stuff, which is going to happen.
He's right. Uh-huh. You're right.
I'll be thinking big thoughts about it and report back to you.
Wait, what?
Later on.
Some people.
So that's it for now.
Don't get it.
Carry on.
Bye.
It's John Williams on 720 WGN.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like AccuCheck and Walgreens True Metrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Since 1992, Eddie's East has grown to be Chicagoland's number one retailer of custom window treatments, the window treatment experts that come to you. Right now, Eddie's East is offering homeowners an incredible limited-time offer. Buy one and get the second at 50% off on select blinds, shades, and drapery. Just call 800-413-7168 to schedule a free shop-at-home appointment with one of our experienced design consultants. Treating customers like family has earned Eddie's East the highest customer satisfaction scores and an A-plus rating by the Better Better Business Bureau. Eddie Z's offers exceptional service and the largest selection of today's top brand names and styles with convenient shop-at-home service. Nobody does blinds and drapery better than Eddie Z's. Nobody. And we'll come to you. And for a limited time, you can save big with our buy one and get 50% off on the second treatment on select blinds, shades, or drapery. Schedule your shop-at-home appointment today and take the first step into transforming that boring space into a showplace. Call 800-413-7168. That's 800-413-7168. 800-413-7168.
Acme Home Insurance.
Yes, I'd like to make a claim.
What are you wanting to claim, sir?
My water heater broke down.
Sorry, but your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover water heater breakdowns.
So what do you cover?
Home damage from things like earthquakes, volcanoes, a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse? But that'll never happen.
But if it did, you'd be covered, sir.
But not my water heater?
I'm afraid not.
But his water heater could have been covered with a home warranty from American Home Shield. We cover major components of air conditioners, plus 20 other home systems and appliances, like electrical systems, plumbing, refrigerators, and more. For a free quote on flexible plans to meet your needs and budget, call 1-800-300-5192. Homeowners insurance can cover what might happen.
Zombies are coming!
But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the dryer won't work.
Be sure with the Shield. American Home Shield. For a free quote, call 1-800-300-5192. 1-800-300-5192.
Limitations and exclusions apply. See plan for details.
News, traffic, weather, sports, the Chicago Conversation starts with me, Steve Cochran, every weekday morning on 720 WGN.
Scott Becker's book, TSA Baggage, An Inside Look at the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly at America's Airports, is a fascinating and compelling read about something we all do. I don't know anybody. Mike Royko didn't like to fly, but he did fly. And when Scott writes, we always joke that passengers drop at least 50 IQ points the second they arrive at the airport. That's in the foreword, and it goes on to do a lovely, lovely job of telling the history of the TSA, much of which I did not know, of talking about some of the problems that inevitably arise for TSA employees for giving, a lot of the troubles you would encounter, Scott, were animals, drugs, booze.
Oh, booze and drugs. You could count on the fact that if there was a problem, it was probably related to booze and drugs. Booze.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That was constant.
You have a lot of personal, as you call them, personal unforgettable moments, which truly are unforgettable, too. But tell me, if you would, a sort of booze story that is for radio public consumption. I mean, is there one that stands out?
Well, I can tell you the most bizarre one. We had a woman who came through the checkpoint, and she was just completely hammered.
What time was this? It was certainly morning.
It was early afternoon. I mean, some people, they drink because they're afraid of flying.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of that. But she decided that she had to go to the bathroom. And she knew that there was a bathroom. She thought there was a bathroom outside the checkpoint, and she'd already come through. And there was one right down the corner, right down the hallway, but she didn't want to do that.
Oh, so she was trying to get out.
So she went through the metal detector, knocked over the officer that was there, and then pushed him down again when she tried to get up. She went into a hallway, pulled down her pants, and peed. And our supervisor followed her. And told her not to do it. And then she decided that she was going to do it again. So she went upstairs. Now she's in full view of the entire checkpoint.
Oh, my God.
And drops her pants. And the supervisor is telling her, you better stop. But she saw a door that said no admittance. She decided she wanted to go in there. And she had already peed, but she laid down in the pee on the floor and started to try to kick the door in. And the police showed up, and they said, you need to stop or you're going to go to jail. And she just kept doing it. And fortunately, they have a jail at O'Hare. Wow. And they have a court where you can be arraigned at O'Hare.
And they have a chapel at
O'Hare. And they do have a chapel.
But we
relied on the courtroom more.
The thing about your job as a TSA person is it's a very serious job. I mean, you are...
Very.
It's as serious as life and death.
As we always said, not on my watch. We were not going to allow anything to happen.
What kind of shifts did you work? 8 hours?
Eight or sometimes 10, frequently 10 in 4 days. And every now and then, I had 1 year where I worked 2 days in the mornings and then 2 days in the afternoon. So that was brutal.
One of the other, did you find that there was a burnout rate for your colleagues ever? I mean, you seem like a grounded, good guy. But I got to think somewhere along the line that there is a pretty big burnout rate for people who are taking, you know, the people coming at you. I like to think that I'm really nice when I fly and say hi to everybody. But many of the people are adversarial to begin with. What do you mean? What do you got to mean? I got to take my, from everything, like, why do I have to take my shoes off?
Or sometimes they just, especially... First-class passengers, they know the procedures as well as we do, and they're very happy to tell us that we're doing it wrong.
Oh, in what fashion? What do you mean? What do they mean wrong?
Well, you're supposed to be doing it a certain way, and you're doing it differently. And I always said, you know, you want uniformity to a certain extent. At the same time, if we're doing everything that is totally uniform and you know how to do it, then so do the bad guys. Oh, they know how to follow directions too, and they probably have our procedures.
Did you ever have any moments during your tenure? And you worked there for more than a dozen years, right? From like 2002 to 15, maybe. Why did you leave?
Burnout.
Did you?
Oh, absolutely. I was exhausted. The stress level, I was a manager. And yeah. So being a manager, it just, everything got escalated to me.
And every problem is dumping on your
shoulders.
Every
problem came to me. And it was literally, I started out in January saying I was going to retire in December. And then it moved back to August, and then it moved back to July, and finally I went to my boss and said, "You got to talk me off the ledge."
Wow!
And he said, "Do you have an FMLA package?" And I said, "I do, but it's intermittent." He said, "Change it to full time and get out." And I was gone in 2 days.
Wow!
I'd had enough. The stress level was just ridiculous.
When you first started the job, I get the sense from the book, and again, the title of the book is TSA Baggage, an inside look at the good, the bad, and the ugly at America's airports. We just heard a great snatch of the ugly. Man, I'm glad I wasn't there that day. Some woman sort of like wandering around peeing all over the
wherever
airport.
She could.
Wherever she could.
Marking
yeah.
her territory.
Yeah. There's kind of a sense of a diary or a journal that you might have been keeping during your tenure here. Was that true?
I did. I started writing stories down probably within a couple of weeks.
Because you found them so interesting? I mean,
because they were. And then,
you couldn't be thinking, well, I'll just start now and 13 years later I'll have a book. That
no,
wasn't it, right?
No. But it was, if I saw somebody at a party and they would say, "Oh, you work at TSA, tell me the funniest story."
Sure.
And I would tell them what happened, and everybody said, "That's wonderful. You really ought to be doing something with it." And I just kept writing it down and writing it down. And
What was the catalyst that made you decide to say, "Okay, look at all these stories I've got. I'm going to put them in a book form."
May of 2015, they had 2 and 3 hour delays at the checkpoints at O'Hare. And it was on the news constantly. And I just said to myself, if I don't get it out now, there's no point in doing it.
Wow.
Because it's just, it's out there so constantly that now is the time. And I sent off, I had done a proposal actually about 5 years before.
Huh.
I dusted it off. I just changed it, tweaked a couple of things, and sent it to two publishers, and one of them bought.
Wow, so, that's remarkable.
So I was very lucky.
In this publishing environment, that is remarkable.
I was very lucky.
There is a great section in the book called Personal Unforgettable Moments. There is also a very nice section that I like, people whom I escorted, and you start off with Ernie Banks.
He was magnificent.
Yeah.
He was hilarious. The first time I saw Ernie there, and I had met him before at a we used to get massages at the same place.
And I oh, that's I had, a small world kind of thing.
Yes,
yeah.
And I met him there, but the first thing he did, I walked up to where he was, and he was yelling. And he said somebody was inspecting him, and he said, "Hey, everybody, do you know that this guy just got married? Give him a round of applause."
Oh.
And I thought, what a nice man.
Wow.
The only thing is, he had the ugliest feet I have ever seen. He had the worst bunions.
Really?
He did. But well, he was the...
That's
the,
so you didn't learn that at the airport.
No.
That's the
yes,
inside.
I did. Yeah, but he was the nicest man, and I told him I was never a Cub fan, but I was always an Ernie Banks fan.
That's really sweet. I got to tell you, Scott Becker, this is a remarkable book. It's not long, ladies and gentlemen. You could, you know, it's about 140 pages.
Good
or
bathroom
so.
Reading.
It is
or on an airline.
It's good airplane reading.
Yep.
That's what I think it is. I think it's great airplane reading. And you also have this this wonderful chapter 2 is the shortest chapter in the book. It is 50 acronyms for TSA. I will not give you any of them right at the moment.
My favorite one
yes.
though, was
what is it?
Three Stooges audition.
some are not entirely, as you say, G-rated. You can be proud of this book. The last question I'm going to, and I'm also, ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes peeled in the Tribune. I want to write about this book for the Tribune in the next few weeks sometime, either a Tuesday or a Sunday, because I just find it fascinating. And it's a great publishing story, too, because it's hard to get a book published these days. I'm going to ask you one last question. The TSA has made this country safe. I mean, I'm sure there's still troubles and worries, but how do you rate the job that you and your colleagues have done over the last 15, 17 years?
I think in general that they have done a remarkable job. You know, it's very difficult. It's very pressure-packed, and they get a bad rap because they fail various tests on the part of the federal government.
Right.
But they have all the time in the world to get that bag packed, and they know exactly how to make you miss it.
Yeah.
And so it's not 100% fair. But they're the most tested, the most educated group, and like it or not, nothing's happened.
Yeah.
No one's gotten through. The planes have stayed up.
That's probably the biggest thing. That's probably the biggest thing for any of us who remember that horrible day. Scott Becker, it's a pleasure to meet you face to face, and it was a real joy to read your book. It's and to meet your family, too. Nice folks, wife and soon to be college kid. TSA Baggage is the title of the book, an inside look at the good, the bad, and the ugly at America's airports. Every library in this area should have Scott in to talk and tell stories, because everybody's flown. I mean, this is one of those universal stories.
And everybody has stories about TSA.
No question.
Everybody.
Mine are all good. We'll be back after the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's 10:30, and here with the news, Roger Battish.
Lake County, Indiana, one of 11 counties declared a site for disaster emergency by Governor Eric Holcomb. Porter and Jasper counties, which have both experienced extensive flooding related to the swollen Kankakee River, were left off of the list. Governor Rauner issued a state disaster proclamation for three counties hard hit by flooding. A proclamation for Iroquois, Kankakee, and Vermilion counties will ensure state support to communities battling floods caused by heavy rains last week. Congress returns to work this week to try and respond to the outcry over gun violence and facing a list of proposals, some of them from President Trump. Presidents propose raising the minimum age to purchase assault-style weapons and arming teachers. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me, it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Illinois Army National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Bull & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BullandBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's bowlandbranch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Attention, Chicago. How would you like to earn $1, $2, or perhaps $5,000 a month in passive mailbox money? Then here's an amazing opportunity just for you. Actor Dean Cain, known as Superman, and now a real estate investor with the National Real Estate Network, are giving away their Riches and Flipping CD for free to anyone who calls right now. They'll even show you step-by-step how to create monthly cash flow for your pockets and flip houses for huge profits, all in just 90 days. Call now and you will also receive 4 VIP tickets to attend their free live Riches and Flipping event, where Dean and their team are looking for a handful of people in your area to join their exclusive team. You do not need your own money and you do not need good credit. You just need to call right now. Call 1-800-519-0391 now to get your free CD. 800-519-0391 now, and you'll get free tickets to a live training with a free meal, a smartwatch, and a flash drive loaded with vital information. All free just for attending. Call 800-519-0391. That's 800-519-0391. Call now.
WGN Sports, Iowa beating Northwestern 77-70. The regular season's over. Now Northwestern gets ready for the postseason, the Big Ten tournament coming up on Thursday. Exhibition baseball, Cubs and Sox both win. Those two teams will be playing each other on Tuesday in Cactus League action out of Mesa, Arizona. The game is at 2 o'clock with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson on your new radio home for the White Sox, 720 WGN. Blackhawks will be visiting San Jose on Thursday. Let's check WGN traffic as Esmeralda Leon.
Right now, westbound I-90, we had a crash earlier. This was west of Route 59. That has now cleared, but just expect a little bit of a residual delay. Also, some red line trains on the CTA are operating with residual delays after an earlier police activity at 87th Street. On the rest of the roads right now, the Edens is 15 in both directions. Kennedy is clear. Eisenhower looking good. Stevenson and the Dan Ryan all running with no major problems. On the Bishop Ford, we earlier had an accident. That is still active at 130th on the northbound side of Bishop Ford. Two right lanes are now blocked. I-57 is looking good, and on the tolls, not seeing any major problems. 294, a little slow around I-80. We're actually just getting word we have a crash on the southbound side, the outbound side of the Dan Ryan at 71st, a right lane blocked there. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic's Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. As Marla Leon, WGN Traffic Central.
And your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Rest of the overnight, mostly clear, windy, low around 32. Monday, back to school and work. Sunny, breezy, high near 50. Temperatures now 39 at O'Hare, 40 at Tinley Park and Midway and along the lakefront. Lake Michigan water temperature at 37. Winds out of the west at 7. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Roger Badish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. This has been a not a manic show, but there were like 35 people in here from the SAG-AFTRA radio players, and that was Joyful and Richard and Scott Becker talking about his TSA baggage book was interesting. I talk a lot about books on this show, and I love books. One of the few people who I would say loves books more than I do is my pal Richard Reeder, who is on the phone. Richard, you are passionate about books and literature, aren't you?
I am, Rick. I am.
You're also the author of one of my favorite books, Chicago Sketches. I can't believe, did we ever do radio on that book when it came out?
Yeah, we did it when you were on that other channel.
That's right, because that other channel, the golden years of Rick Kogan's radio career. Richard and I are going to be together on March 7th at one of the most amazing places in Chicago, the Cliff Dwellers Club. I am flattered and honored that he asked me to be part of what is called the Literary Salon series there. What are we going to be doing, Richard? You tell me. You tell me. I've been to a few before, but I'm no Stuart Dybeck, I'll tell you that.
Well, look, some Victorian gentleman once said that a literary salon is a gathering of people under the roof of an inspiring host, and it's held partly to amuse one another and partly to refine the taste and increase the knowledge of the participants through conversation.
And you think I'm going to be capable of something like that? I don't think so.
Absolutely, Rick. Absolutely. Remember Kupcinet? Remember that The Art of Lively Conversation?
Oh, my God. Remember, what a show. What a show. You would have Albert Einstein sitting next to Mamie Van Doren, sitting next to Mickey Rooney, sitting next to Albert Schweitzer. And somehow he would make all of that work. So this event, it's on March 7th at the Cliff Dwellers. You can go to reservations at
cliffdwellers.org, and if you want to call, you can call after 11 o'clock when people get there to make reservations for lunch. And it's good to call, so the number there is 312-922-8080.
And so there will be drinks served. There are cocktails at 5. Then
There's going to be cocktails. The bar opens about 4:30, and then there's a reception, which again is, more drinks and more cocktails, more hors d'oeuvres.
Yes, it's a literary thing, man.
It's a literary thing. And then there's going to be some food. So it's going to be a lovely event. And again, it's conversation.
It's you and me, and which I'm terribly flattered again and honored to be sitting there talking to you. It's just going to be the two of us talking about books in Chicago with a slight focus on the strange career that I have had. Yes.
Yes, and you talk about literary history in Chicago. My God, your father was such an important part of it.
Yeah,
really, and a lot of people don't know. They should know about your father because he was a great man on the Chicago literary scene. And we'll talk about. I'll be asking you about your father, your mother, an interesting person.
Oh, indeed. You know, the funny
maybe,
thing is,
maybe
Richard,
even your brother.
Yes, the rock and roll road manager for years. I can tell. I could spend the whole time we're sitting up there telling stories about being on the road
with
Elvis.
Tell a Sinatra story about your brother.
Yes, Sinatra and Elvis Presley stories about Mark. You know, the funny thing is, they are redoing some tapes at WFMT, and my father had a show there for a while, and someone sent me, they're archiving some of these, and Richard, you would appreciate this. I'll try to find it and send it to you. It's my father interviewing Willard Motley, another sadly forgotten character in Chicago literary history, African-American.
Knock on any door.
God. And hounded out of the country by the IRS.
And I think he died in Mexico.
Yeah, he did. He did. It's a sad, sad story. What fired your... You have had a fascinating career, Richard. You still teaching?
I'm still teaching, yeah. I'm teaching a class on Ben Heck's 1001 Afternoons in Chicago.
Where are you teaching that?
At the Newbery.
Oh, what a great what a great book! I interviewed David Mamet last week in California, and he kept going on and on and on and on about Ben Hecht, who is another kind of guy. It's funny how some, don't you find, Richard Reeder? It's funny how some literary figures do wind up just being buried by history's dust. I guess Hemingway.
Oh,
Hemingway still has a pretty big profile, but Hecht not so much.
Not at all. And it's been 100 years almost since 1001 Afternoons in Chicago, and he's forgotten.
Who does your class attract? I know you can't characterize it generally, but who's coming to that class you're teaching?
One of the things is people generally, they seem to be in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and that's one of the shame, You're not getting young people reading Ben Hecht.
Right.
Uh, you know, one of my favorite classes that I teach is I teach classes on Royko, and you know, so much of my class is just reading some of his columns.
Yeah, and the great thing about, you know, some, you know, Mike wrote, you know, 8,000 columns, but some are dated, I would think, mm-hmm. but some are also eternal. I mean, you read a right. column like November Farewell, which he wrote after his wife Carol died, mm-hmm. or another one that he wrote he wrote a letter to Prince Charles and Lady Diana when they got married, which is one of, it's an incredible piece of literature. You know, that is so funny. Thank God that you and the Newbery are keeping that alive. I loved
it. It's almost poetry. It's lyrical.
Yeah.
Some of Royko's
There's,
you always think of Royko as political.
Yeah, exactly. And you think of him always as funny. Those are people who just haven't read all of Mike Royko. One of the great things about Mike was the incredible breadth of his work. I mean, there's another one, Richard, I'm sure you know it, about, you know, the guy who goes to buy a Christmas tree, or the famous Joe and Mary Got Off the Bus, an updating of the Joseph
Christmas
and Mary story.
Yeah.
What are you working? Are you writing anything?
I am. I've got a book which I hope will come out this summer. So it's fiction. It's fictional accounts, little vignettes about the people that ride CTA trains.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
And, you know, there's 8 different lines of the CTA.
Sure.
You know, they're by colors. And I have 8 people that I've created. They're kind of composite characters of observation all these years myself, riding the CTA trains for, you know, for 55 years or so. So, and I'm actually, I'm doing 64 vignettes like Hecht had in his 1001 Afternoon Show. There were 64 stories.
Yeah.
And tentatively thinking of maybe 1001 Train Rides in Chicago as a title.
That's a great title. You got to keep me posted. You got to come down.
Yeah, I will. I'm hoping to get it done this summer.
Well, I can't tell you, this is not a self-promotional thing for me, because I don't get paid for any of the stuff I do, and Richard doesn't get paid, but he and I will be in conversation at the Literary Salon on March 7th at the Cliff Dwellers, which has one of the most stunning views east.
Twenty-second floor, a beautiful view.
Yeah, it is an amazing, amazing building. You can call 312-922-8080, or I suppose if you Google Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R, and Kogan and Cliff Dwellers, you'll be directed in this fascinating modern age in which we live.
Yeah, something will pop up.
Richard, I can't wait to see you. And again, I'm really flattered you would ask, and I think I'm a great admirer of yours, and I think it'll just be fun to talk Chicago and books and
thank you, Rick.
And Elvis Presley or whatever.
Remember the lively art of conversation.
Yeah, and I can always fall back on Royko stories, too. That's a great thing. That's what I got in my back pocket. Richard, thanks a million. I will see you. I'll mention this next week, too, but it's on March 7th at the Cliff Dwellers. It's, ladies and gentlemen, it is worth it to see the Cliff Dwellers. That's all I'm saying. It's worth it to go into that amazing room. Richard, thanks a million. Thanks for staying up so late.
Oh, okay, thanks, Rick.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Lovely guy, incredible place. The Cliff Dwellers is really one of the most stunning rooms in the city of Chicago. When we come back, I will tell you about something I'm doing this Thursday. But Monday, I'm at the Red Orchid Theater. Tomorrow night, I'm at the Red Orchid Theater interviewing a few members, the playwright of the play that is currently playing their traitor, Brett Nouveau, and two of the actors in that show. I saw it last week, and it's quite something. And Red Orchid is, of course, the theater that Michael Shannon, movie star, is so closely associated with. And I saw The Shape of Water Friday night, or last night. I don't remember, Friday night. It's a great movie. It is one of the most inventive movies. And Mike Shannon in it is just monster. He's a monster. He's worse than the monster who is captured in the movie. a couple minutes of commercial, and I'll tell you about something I'm doing this week that you may want to see because it's David Mamet.
For a little over 4 years, my dad has been starting off your week with a joke, and this Monday morning he'll tell his 200th.
Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.
Well, you spend a third of your life in your sheets, so start getting a better sleep with better sheets. Brooklinen.com, the highest quality sheets, no big markup. Brooklinen was founded in 2014 by Vicky and Rich Fullup. Now, their philosophy is interesting. Beautiful home essentials and no crazy prices. Most bedding is marked up 300%, but not Brooklinen. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding in the world. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding by Good Housekeeping. This is absolute luxury bedding, and it's underpriced, too. You have to try these sheets, and you have to do it today. I love my Brooklinen sheets so much, and Brooklinen has an offer just for our listeners. You get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code BILL at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident, they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and, on top of that, a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and their comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code BILL at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen, B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N.com. Use the promo code BILL, Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
Folks, when shopping for a home mortgage, how much is great service, low closing costs, and competitive interest rates worth to you? At Townstone Financial, it's priceless. Hi, Barry Sterner, founder of Townstone Financial. Let's hear about the Townstone experience from one of our customers.
My wife and I were buying a new home. We had spoken to a few other brokers before reaching out to Zach at Townstone, and we're glad that we did. Townstone's rates were better, and more importantly, Zach really guided us through the mortgage process, helped us understand the difference between the different loan options that were available, put us in a position to have extra money to make some updates to the home, and we really couldn't be happier and wouldn't use anybody else besides Townstone.
Remember, nobody values your home mortgage business more than Townstone. I guarantee it, and I own the company. So call me now, Barry Sterner, at 312-896-2110. That's 312-896-2110, or go to townstone.com. That's townstone.com.
Townstone Financials, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, Illinois, mortgage licensee 6629 and NMLS 136639, equal housing lender.
Do you have a painting to sell that is at least 50 years old? Call me, the Antique Lady, at 773-262-1000. Take a look around your home. That old painting on the wall may not be a masterpiece and may not be in perfect condition, but it could be valuable. A Glenview resident received a substantial check for an original watercolor she had planned to sell at a garage sale. A Chicago couple was pleasantly surprised when we purchased their oil painting, which needed restoration to both the canvas and frame. Call 773-262-1000 to schedule an appointment and receive a fair price for your artwork. BJ Antiques has been at 6901 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago for over 30 years. Whether your painting is in the basement, attic, or on the wall, please give me, the Antique Lady, a call at 773-262-1000.
Chicago's premier podcast collection.
What's going on with WGN Plus? Technori always finds the most interesting guests. And this week, Scott had Raj Nation in studio to talk about The Perfect Pitch. Two Guys, One Album breaks down Blink-182's album, Enema of the State, while Guth and Hupke are trying to take on all of the Twitter bots in the digital universe. Those darn robots. They're coming. Check it all out on WGNplus.com.
Welcome back. Talking about that WGN, whatever it is where you can now find or soon find Lease FM, where you can find me. You found me today on the, if you still get a paper, and I hope you do. I do read the paper occasionally online, but I am an old-fashioned guy, and I still love to get the newspaper, especially the Sunday paper, which I think many of you still get, hundreds of thousands of you. That's the thing in this new age. You think, well, everybody's reading online. You know, hundreds of thousands of you get the Sunday papers delivered to your home or you buy them on the street. Now, if someone said to me, Rick, how would you like to have a business that sells hundreds of thousands of anything on one day? I would say, yeah, I'll take that business. That gives me hope that the newspaper business will figure out a way to not just survive, but to thrive. So, on the front page of the Chicago Tribune today, you saw a picture of the person who is arguably Chicago's most, certainly most famous playwright, David Mamet. He hasn't been around in a long time. David left Chicago for keeps in roughly 1977 when American Buffalo, his brilliant play, premiered in on Broadway. And he started to make money from his writing. But he is a Chicago child through and through. And the story is about his new novel, his first novel in 20 years. It is titled Chicago. It's set in the 1920s. It involves, unbelievably, two Tribune reporters are these main protagonists of the thing. And I kept, even when I was out there talking to David, I said, did you base these reporters on me? And he sadly said no. For obvious reasons, they are not based on me. David then has gone on to huge success in film. I'm going to play you a little clip here. I don't know which one. There are two. He wrote The Untouchables. And this book, when people read his novel called Chicago, they will certainly think of The Untouchables. Here's a bit of David Mamet language from The Untouchables.
Okay, pal, why the Mahaska? Why are you packing the gun?
I'm a treasury officer.
All right. Just remember what we talked about now.
Wait a minute. What the hell kind of police you have in this city, huh? What do they teach you? You just turned your back on an armed man.
You're a treasury officer.
Yeah, how do you know that? I just told you I was.
Who would claim to be that? Who was not? Hmm?
What's your name and unit?
It's right here. You got a beef? What is it?
How did you know I had a gun?
What do you want? A free lesson in police work?
No.
Are you okay, pal?
I had a rough day on the job.
Are you going home now?
I was about to.
Well then, you just fulfilled the first rule of law enforcement. Make sure when your shift is over, you go home alive. Here endeth the lesson.
That, of course, is Sean Connery in his Academy Award-winning portrayal of the cop in David Mamet's The Untouchables. David and I will be at the Union Lee Club for a Thursday luncheon. You can just, if you want to go, just Google Mamet, Kogan, Union Lee Club, Thursday. It'll send you to a place where you can get tickets. I think with the ticket you get, I know you get lunch, and I think you might also get a copy of the book. David is an interesting guy, and he really does love Chicago. He is just, and he's always busy. He's just finished a play about Harvey Weinstein. Whether it's going to be produced or not is a complete other matter, but he is, and has just finished a book based, a screenplay based on the novel by Don Winslow called The Force, which I coincidentally have read about 6 months ago. It's about a kind of revered, admired, respected New York police officer who gets involved in all sorts of political shenanigans and drug troubles and woman troubles and everything else. A very, very good novel right up David's alley. Here, as I kind of get ready to say goodbye to you, is perhaps the most famous lines of David Mamet's for The Untouchables. You'll know who's talking.
I have sworn to put this man away with any and all legal means at my disposal, and I will do so. Well, the Lord hates a coward.
Do you know what a blood oath is, Mr. Ness?
Yes.
Good. Because you just took one.
Well, that wasn't really it, but what it was the famous, how do you get Capone? He brings a knife, you bring a gun, he puts your man in the hospital, you put his man in the morgue. And I'd forgotten that Sean Connery won the Academy Award for that. You know, you try to cut these things up, and I'm inept at cutting up different things. So what I should do is just watch The Untouchables again, and that will be that. So read the story on the front page of your Chicago Tribune today, and you will be reminded of David Mamet. He grew up in, one of the things about it, and I'm reviewing the book, I'm reviewing his novel Chicago for next week's Life and Style section, because it just, the piece in today's paper is long. It's worth it, but it's long. It starts on the front page and then jumps to a page, and there's some very nice photographs by a very nice young photographer for the LA Times who came over and went out to Santa Monica, spend roughly a day or long part of a day with David. He eats at the same place like 4 days a week. He is happily married to his wife, the singer, actress Rebecca Pigeon. They have two dogs now. It's a different thing. Going to, instead of doing an interview over the phone, when you go out to visit someone, whether it's across the street or across the country, you wind up able to get a lot more. Just to see a little, not big, very modest little poster of Riverview hanging on David's wall, and to see all these pins that he has stuck around the house of old Chicago, and to see his baby grand piano in the living room that he plays every day, and he's an extraordinarily good piano player. He took lessons since he was 4 years old at the old Fine Arts Building downtown. And as once played, you know, Woody Allen thought he was so good that Woody Allen asked him to join his band in New York, which David did for like one night. So read that thing, and if you're of a mind and you want to buy the book is formally released on Tuesday. David and I will be talking about the book and about Chicago at the Union Lee Club Thursday during lunch. Just Google Kogan, Mamet, Union Lee Club Thursday, and wonderfully, Chicago, in quotes. Thank you, Aubrey Mumpower, for dealing with all these people and all these microphones. Thank you, Lise Graham, for always being your charming self and giving your take on Northwestern basketball before we started this show. And thank you all for listening. You make the show. Carl Amari will be coming up.